So right now I have 3 adults for 9 students. And we have, every day we go to 2 different jobs. So I go to one job and then I have another job coach go to another. And then I have another one-to-one student just for that student's needs. But next year I have a huge group. I'll probably have over 15 students. Very excited because that'll give me the opportunity then to get even more job opportunities. I truly feel like if I can get more job opportunities, I can then ask my young adult, did you like that job? And they can say yes or no, rather than, right. Hey, you'd be a great janitor, right? I'm like almost telling them, rather than you tried cleaning at the church. Did you like it? What did you like about it? What did you not like? And then we can try something else. So it just gives them more say in their life. And I think it's so important because I wouldn't want anyone telling me what to do.
Right.
So it's a beautiful thing. And then we can kind of start saying, okay, you didn't like that job. Let's go to this one. So the more job experiences I have to give them, the more they can figure out what they would want to do to make them happy and make money in their lives.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Carrie Radzik. Carrie is the special education 18 to 21 transition teacher, and she is at Westosha Central High School. Makes sense that you'd be at a high school, right? In Salem, Wisconsin. Carrie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit about Westosha and like give us some demographics and then tell us a little bit about you and your job.
Well, Westosha Central has a lot good going on right now. We're in between Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and Kenosha, Wisconsin. So we're in that little pod right there in Kenosha County. We're just over 1,300 students, which we've grown tremendously in the last few years. Just had a referendum pass, and we've grown. We have a new couple new additions, and then we almost had a full renovation of our entire building. So we're very, very blessed. Have a great community backing, great families. A lot of families come back here after the parents have gone and they have their kids go here. And it's just a great place to be. So very, very lucky with that. So
awesome. Awesome. So how did you get into the role that you're currently in?
Yeah, so I actually was a middle school teacher for about 10 years. My middle school filtered into a different high school, but part of our conference, and they had an 18 to 21 program. So I was kind of familiar with the program idea and the option. In Wisconsin, you can have services if you have an IEP up to the age of 21. When I came here to Westosha Central in 2020, we did not have this option. I saw a lot of my students. I was in like an ID autism room, and I kind of saw some students were staying after they're 18 and almost repeating classes. So my question was kind of like, how are we helping our students and what else can we do to get them life ready, right? So myself and a couple other people and our special ed director, we were given the opportunity to start a committee. And that whole year, we kind of researched other schools within our state, what they've done, how they run their programs. And then we were able to create our own and pass it through our board. And our board is so, so wonderful and supportive. So we were given that opportunity then to start one the next year. So So this has been our 4th year with this program. And my job is to employ my students, get them life ready, get their life skills, social skills up and running. And the things that we see, the progress we see is truly amazing. And I'm very, very blessed to have my job. So
awesome. You said ID. So tell our audience what ID stands for.
Sure. Intellectually disabled. So, yeah.
I know most of them will know, but, you know, there's always going to be somebody. What's ID? I don't know what ID is.
Yep. So, yeah, a lot of acronyms in education,
yeah.
Right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So so what kinds of jobs and what tell us about the program. Tell us what, you know, to prevent them from just doing the same thing over and over again and then end up institutionalized or work or living at home and not doing nothing. What kinds of things are you guys doing?
Yeah, so I'm really lucky. I get to teach. I specifically do differentiated instruction for learning how to fill out applications, learning how to fill out or get resumes ready. When they go to an interview, you know, sometimes my students have a hard time speaking for themselves, but then kind of questions should, you know, the employer ask, and that's hard to say, right? So I have an About Me page that my students fill out, and it kind of says what they like, what they struggle with, and what they're getting better at, and what they're working at, so that the employer can kind of ask those questions that are direct for my student, so they can answer those, and then the conversation can kind of be more led. My students work on going out in the community, whether that's going to a restaurant and ordering for themselves, paying for themselves, making sure they can afford what they're ordering. Whoa, that's a big one. A lot of my students like ordering, you know, the monster size meal, and they don't have that money. So it's a great experience. We go out every once a week for that. We go out with other 18 to 21 groups in the community, the county, to have those friendships formed. A lot of my students have the same peers in their class since they were kindergartners. So I love promoting that so they can get different friendships formed, have new people to talk to. And then 4 days a week, we go to different job sites. So myself or another job coach goes and we prep food in a kitchen at a restaurant. We clean a church. We work in our school lunchroom and the kids hand out food and then they stock in between lunches. It's anything to give them job skills while we can help them, because a lot of my students can't do it independently. But after a couple months, they truly can, because they've been exposed and they have that routine, because a lot of my students need a routine. So it's incredible. I get to teach a little of everything, but I absolutely love it.
Yeah. And it truly is. They absolutely can learn. Yes, it's just a matter of how long it takes them to get that routine and to learn that skill. I love that. We lived in Michigan for 19 years and I'm going to plug my previous church here a little bit. River Tree Community Church in Jackson, Michigan has a special needs adult program, and they have probably 100 special needs adults that come every Tuesday night. And there's Carol and Gary, her husband. I don't want to give out last names, but they have been running that. But Carol's amazing, absolutely amazing. And it's just exactly, these are the kids that have gone through your program, like what you guys are doing. And now they come and they worship and they have a talent night. And it's such a beautiful thing. You know, and there's so few outlets for them. And this is a place, again, they know everybody. You know, they've been, Carol's been doing this for many years. They actually came to our church, came to River Tree, and she moved it from her previous church to this church because her church was dying and they needed a place for this to go. And, Lighthouse was established in Jackson, Michigan. We're now in Corpus Christi, Texas, because I don't like the cold. but it's a beautiful, and I know there are others out there that do similar things. And that's exactly, you know, just having that community and what you were just exactly talking about. It's beautiful.
We're very lucky here. And we do have to, like, whenever I'm asked, what can my young adults do? I tell them anything. Because I truly believe that. But it's me finding then the scaffold or the little thing that they need to help them get there. So, you know, you have to count 7 cauliflowers to put in a portion bag for a restaurant. My kids might be like, ooh, there's something over there. And they forget what number they're at. I have a counting mat. I just make counting mats and then they put it down and then they put it in the bag. They know when all the boxes are filled, they put it in. Right. Or some of my students aren't great at vacuuming. You know, they can, but they just have to learn how to do it. So we throw paper on the ground to make sure they get all the different areas of the church. So it's just, what can I do to help them achieve? And once they achieve, they fly. And it's the coolest thing to watch. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And they can earn money. They can become much more independent. And yeah. So what does your program look like as far as it? Is it just you, or how did you get this? Yes, you got the board to agree to it, but then how did you bring everybody else on board?
Sure. So we had some parents that were interested in an opportunity when we were investigating what we could do. So I started with just three students from 18 to 21. And then I had one aide. And we went out, we job coached and all that. The next year we grew. And then we kind of do it based on how many job sites I have and then and behavioral needs. So, or medical needs. So right now I have 3 adults for 9 students. And we have, every day we go to 2 different jobs. So I go to one job and then I have another job coach go to another. And then I have another one-to-one student just for that students' needs. But next year I have a huge group. I'll probably have over 15 students. Very excited, because that'll give me the opportunity then to get even more job opportunities. I truly feel like if I can get more job opportunities, I can then ask my young adult, did you like that job? and they can say yes or no rather than, hey, you'd be a great janitor, right? I'm like almost telling them rather than you tried cleaning at the church. Did you like it? What did you like about it? What did you not like? And then we can try something else. So it just gives them more say in their life. And I think it's so important because I wouldn't want anyone telling me what to do, you know? So it's a beautiful thing. And then we can kind of start saying, okay, you didn't like that job. Let's go to this one. So the more job experiences I have to give them, the more they can figure out what they would want to do to make them happy and make money in their life. So, yeah.
So how do you go about identifying companies that are willing to do this and to work with you?
That's a great question. So we started with a spreadsheet that I sent to staff. And I basically said, here are the businesses within like a 10 mile radius of our school. Do you know anyone that works there? Can I have, you know, your personal reference? And then I can go from there. And a lot of our job opportunities came from maybe a coworker, their daughter worked at the restaurant, right? Maybe the church, someone just goes to that church and they said, this sounds great. Right. So my students don't get paid. Some of them eventually do get jobs where we're at. But we do volunteer work at first. So I kind of, you know, plug it as like, I will make sure the job gets done right. I will be there with them, but we're just going to be there to help coach them. So that's kind of how I went about it. Like, do you want some free help at your job? And you're giving a great opportunity for someone that needs some of these job skills worked on. And we had an overwhelming response from my staff. So then I was able to kind of be selective in saying, okay, let's take a restaurant job. Let's take a cleaning job. We worked at a different restaurant. We worked at a daycare because then it kind of gave us with a small amount of jobs, it kind of gave us different areas to work on at each one. So,
yeah.
I just sent it out to our staff and it was a great return from our staff. And then I was able to kind of go from there. So.
Fantastic. So you've got 15 kids. How many different jobs are you going to have next year then?
Yeah. By next year, I'm hoping to at least double what we have. So we have like five right now because we do one job every day. And I rotate the kids. I'm hoping to have at least 10. And we've had actually a pretty big boom of businesses pop up around our school in the last probably year and a half, 2 years. So they're here. I mean, they're ready. And I think with having more young adults, we'll have more work, job coaches. That'll give us the opportunity to go to more job experiences. So
how do you manage, how do you handle transportation then?
Yeah, we have our own school vans. And then we're able to, my students, my young adults actually have an altered school day. So we do a pickup of my young adult after high school day starts. So my students are like 8:40 to 1, which is like our second or fourth period. And then they leave after 1 because some then do go to jobs afterwards. So we do all that. We do a pickup and a drop off from their home. And then we do all the transportation to either our community outings that I was talking about or to their job sites with our vans.
Awesome. And then there is the move from your program into daily life. What does that look for them and how, give us some success stories there.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've had a pretty high percentage of students, employed by the time they're done. I just had another student last week. I'm just so proud. He got employed at one of the restaurants we work at. Michael's on the Lake is a dinner club around us. They've employed two of our students now, and just phenomenal. And they actually just hired someone that was out of my program for about 2 years, and they just hired him. And, you know, it's just a great feeling to know that they've gained so many job skills that they can be employed and that they're working there without a job coach. They've seen us and how we kind of interact with the students and push them and keep them on task. And they take those same skills and they just run with it there. So it's been incredible. So I've had a very high percentage be employed. Some have gone to Gateway Technical College. Some will get involved with DVR, the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation in our county. Mm-hmm. And then they're continuing on with a little job coaching and they're employed at places like Quick Trip and other places. I mean, so we push and my students love it because we're we're hands-on, but we do a lot of any academic work we do seems fun to them because it's very practical. It's not like I'm teaching. You have to learn history. I get to teach something like, hey, we're working on empathy today. And I kind of, we watched Everybody Loves Raymond today. And I showed them and then we worked that way. So I don't have set standards, but I've made standards for myself so that I know I'm hitting for my students in 3 years what they need to be socially and in life and vocationally ready for life. And I, you know, I only have so much time with them, but I really do feel like we hit a lot of main areas that the growth we see. I mean, we want our students to be independent. So a lot of times we're like, oh, we have so much more work to do. But then I talk to our other job coaches and I'm like, how far they've come is just incredible. And it's actually such a gift to be able to watch it. You know, yeah, we might help it happen, but my students are responsible for it happening, right? I mean, it's their choice. And it's really a beautiful thing. And I think my parents see it. My students' parents see it at home with, I make them chore lists. How can you help your parents at home? And I give them a list. And I try to make it, you know, life skills goes at home too. Like, why is your mom packing lunch? Start packing your lunch, dude. You can do it. And just seeing those little things across the board, I truly feel like they get more ready for life. I mean, we're blessed with a kitchen in my room, a laundry room in my room. So they're cooking on Fridays, but they clean up. They choose the recipe. They have to follow the recipe. You put in 4 cups of milk and it was only supposed to be a quarter. Oops, it's not going to taste right. But I can't help you too much because you would never learn otherwise.
What if every student could work with a therapist who brings not just credentials, but years of experience and wisdom to the table? At Lighthouse Therapy, most of our therapists have over 16 years of real world experience. We don't just fill seats. Instead, we find therapists who've seen it all and know how to help. And every new therapist is paired with a mentor to help them guide them every step of the way. Whether through virtual, hybrid, or in-person delivery, your students are getting services that's thoughtful, experienced, and genuinely human. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn more.
Right?
Yeah.
Just so lucky. And the opportunities that we have and that we can hone in on, due to not having standards, I'm able to see what my students need and I can really focus on that. So I'm very lucky.
It's individualized.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Truly.
Which is what education really should be, right?
Yeah.
Every single child should have an individualized plan for them because we're all different. We're all unique. Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. And to get them, there's I'm not going to be able to come up with it off the top of my head. It's not there, but I know that institutionalization almost of, you know, I know there's a term and it's not there anymore, Janet, but like they just are dependent. They just, because they've always been dependent and always been.
Like a learned helplessness?
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Exactly.
Yep.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Because
yep.
everybody does it for me. I don't have to do it. I don't have to think about it. And you're telling them, you do have to think about it and you're not helpless and you can do this on your own. And what a beautiful thing to get them to the place where they can do it on their own and be successful. It's beautiful. Absolutely. So,
lucky.
Yeah, you are. It sounds like it. So someone who's listening to this and they have a heart for these kids, well, hopefully you'll play this in your local area. People will hear this in your local area. How do people learn more about your program if they want to implement it? Or just pick your brain for the things because you're a wealth of knowledge, I can tell. And you have a true passion for these kids. So where do people go to learn more about you? Or if they are local, where would they go to say, hey, I'd like to, you know, be a business that helps you out? Where would that be?
So, I mean, I've spoke at the Wisconsin Transition conference before. I know every state has those conferences. Go there, ask questions. I then gave my email out and I, you know, helped a few people. They wanted to start up a program. I got to design my room. So they were like, what would you do in a room? And I was like, I'll tell you the pros and cons of what we did, right? Just asking in your community. But we typically looked up 18 to 21 programs in our state. And then we kind of took from pockets of everywhere to see what their differences were. People can email me. I'm on the County Transition Club. I do a every week there's a transition talk in our state. I go on that because no matter how much I know, I can learn more and I go to those. And then I like some of these are so wonderful and then they're taped and I give can give how to do healthcare transition with your students if they're dependent on you. Right. So I don't have all the answers, but there's so much out there that you can find it. So I would just suggest, you know, if your school doesn't have an 18 to 21 option, ask about it. And then you can always open enroll your students to another district that does in the state of Wisconsin. You can, you know, but if you ask and get that conversation started, I think more and more schools will hopefully start to. Many schools in our area have started to. I think there weren't too many available before. And it's happening more and more because otherwise at 18, what do we say? Okay, you're done. And right. They're not ready for life yet. Most other kids can go get a job. Or they can go to some kind of post-secondary schooling, right? And if they don't have those options, we should be providing that for them. So, yeah, I would just ask around. And, like, we have other we have some wonderful resources around us. The county, DVR, IRIS. You can ask any of those. But if you don't know if your school has one, just go in and ask. But if anyone has any questions ever, I'm always an open book and can always ask me anything. So.
Do you guys, your school have a website?
We do. Yep. It's just Wistosha Central. And we, if I, my name's on there for 18 to 21 transition. You could email us. Yeah. So anything you need. Yeah. I was an architect in my past life. So I got to design my room when we got our new build.
Oh, neat.
So it was super cool. And I've had a lot of questions on that. Like, what would you put in your room? How would you design it? I would look back as many changing rooms as you can have because we only have one big bathroom. But it's just, there's so many things to think about. But if you have the support around you, you're going to be great. So just always ask. And I have the best special ed director, admin, school board, paras, job coaches. So like, I'm just so lucky. And our community is just so willing. So I think also if you don't have a community that's willing, you just have to go get somebody to bite. And once they see what you can do, more people are gonna bite, right? I mean, that's kind of where it starts. So,
yeah, and it's so rewarding. I mean, I've been a speech therapist for 31 years, and helping kids and seeing them be successful is the most beautiful thing you can
It really is.
Imagine, yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's why we're here. And to see those positive outcomes is just, I tell people all the time, I have the best job in the world. I wake up every day because I know my students would be, they need us, right? And slowly we say we should be working ourselves out of a job because you're going to be independent, but there's always more coming down the line. But, you know, and we're just lucky. And we have some of the most loving, hardworking kids in the world, and they deserve a job too. So.
Awesome. So if there's one thing that you could just miraculously make go away, one thing that in your job, the stuff that, you know, there's whatever it is, that one thing that it's like, if I could just fix that one thing and never have to worry about it again, and it can't be money, you know, everybody needs more money. What would it be? What would that one thing be?
For my students, many of them can't drive. So I think for them, it would be transportation available at all times so that they weren't dependent on others, more like so their family and friends for to get to a job. Mm-hmm. We have a great transportation system that got put in place by our legislation in our county. Unfortunately, some of my kids have to go across county lines. So it's how does that happen? Like, we're so close to some borders. So, and they don't work on the weekends, like those van opportunities that we have in the county. So while we've taken a huge step forward, I still think we just need to do a little bit more because, my young adults need to work on the weekends too. So, and I hate that they have to then rely on, a family member that maybe can't drive them. And I would hate for them that to be a reason why they're not working. Right.
Right.
So. Yeah. So that's one of the things.
Yeah. That's one of the things that, you know, when they started talking about self-driving cars, you know, I was like, for people that are blind or disabled or elderly, so much. I mean, I know it's happening. I've seen it in big cities and stuff, but it's coming. And those are the people that, you know, when it comes, Elon Musk, please make it affordable, or donate some of those to a school like yours so that these kids can get where they need to be. Because there's people that philanthropists that can do something nice. So if you're a philanthropist and you're listening to this and you know somebody, please help these kids to get where they need to be. It's a great answer to that question, but it's something that we know is coming. You know, maybe not in my lifetime, maybe in my lifetime. I don't know. I'm 58. Who knows? But yeah. But definitely, I mean, removing that barrier is such a great answer, because it is the biggest barrier to getting to work is, you know, having, you know, and you live in Wisconsin. It's cold up there in the winter.
Sure. And like if we're over in the city of Kenosha, I have a city bus. There's taxis and there's other things out by us. We're just outside. We don't have city buses. We don't have, if you call an Uber, it's going to take you like 40 minutes to get one. And the transportation I was referring to, like, there's just some stipulations that just hold some of my students back a little bit. And I think we're definitely taking, like I said, steps forward. But I wish that could be fixed, because I think it would help a lot of my kids. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's a great answer. Absolutely. Okay. Well, so many good things. So many good things. I love what you guys are doing. And you know, you're bringing up a generation that's going to be a functioning, growing part of society. One last question I wanted to ask you. You said 18 to 21. So, and every state's a little bit different. Are they once they turn 21, or is it once they turn 22 that they age out? How does that work?
Jana, that's a great question. So if you were to turn 21, let's say in September and school's already started, you can finish that entire school year in the state of Wisconsin. Let's say you turn 21 in that summer, you would officially be done. I turn 21 in April, I can finish that school year. So you finish that school year unless it's during the summer, and then you can't finish anymore. So, yeah.
Tough one.
Yeah. But other states are there. Some are 22, some are 25. Yeah.
26.
But ours is 21.
I know there's
yes.
one. I was talking yeah. to somebody who was 26 and another transition person. And it's just, yeah. I mean, just like, wow. So.
And the time goes so fast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we've worked on is, instead of me starting to teach you how to put gloves on, right, that could be something that's done in middle school. So we've started working with our middle schools. Like, if you start with these life skills, vocational skills that are easier, then when I get them, I don't have to waste time in a sense on those skills, because then we can just kind of get out and run when I get
those activities of daily living done before they get to that age, because they've got to be able to take a shower. They've got to be able to brush their teeth. They've got to be able to get dressed for work and put their shoes on and know how to know whether or not it's going to be cold enough that I need my coat or I don't.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of times right now I'm doing that in my program, which is eating some of the 3 years, and time goes fast and there's a lot to learn and teach. So,
So good for you. Well, Carrie, it has been a fantastic conversation. I knew it would be. We are, you and I have the same heart. You know, we're both special educators and love the kids, and we just want kids to be successful and giving them an opportunity that they wouldn't get otherwise. And your kids, you know, you talk about you being blessed. Your kids are blessed because of what you're doing. So, and like the podcast say, we are definitely brighter together, aren't we?
Yeah, we just got to keep working together. And look at what my school did. They made this program possible, and we're just getting better, right? So we're just going to keep climbing. So I'm just lucky. Grateful. And I have a great life because of it. So,
yeah, well, keep up the good work. And thank you for telling your story here. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thanks for everything you do.